Our sermon text tonight is the book of James, chapter 2, and this evening we are going to look at verses 14 through 26 of James, chapter 2. So James, chapter 2, and beginning in 14, verse 14, before we hear God's word, let's pray once again together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the scriptures which are produced by the Holy Spirit and profitable for us, through which you train us in righteousness and correct our errors, both in our thinking and in our behavior. We pray, Father, this evening that as we hear the scriptures read and proclaimed, that you by your Spirit would produce faith in our hearts to believe your words and to lay them up in our hearts and practice them in our lives. Cause us by faith, by true faith, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of James, chapter 2, and beginning in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith, apart from works, is dead. This is the word of God. Now, it's not difficult to discern the main point of this passage because James repeats it three times. The main point that he's making is that faith without works, or faith apart from works, is useless. Faith apart from works, he says, is dead. It's a lifeless corpse, like a body without a soul. James says in verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And then verse 20, faith apart from works is useless. And again, verse 26, as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. And so that's James' main point. He repeats it three different times. Faith without works is useless. It's worthless. That's the kind of faith that demons have. Even the demons believe and shudder, he says in verse 19. And those who have faith without works are no better off than demons. So what good is it to have such a faith? A faith that does not produce works is useless. It doesn't benefit others, and it doesn't benefit the one who has it. There is no value or profit or benefit in a faith without works. Faith without works would say to a cold and hungry brother or sister, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but it would not provide them with clothes and food, verse 16. And so faith without works is useless. It does not benefit others, but it also doesn't benefit the one who has it, who has such a faith. To have that kind of faith is good for nothing. What good is it to have faith without works? What good does it do? Is there any benefit at all in having such a faith? Nothing is gained from it. There's no benefit to it. It is of no advantage to have that kind of a faith. Now, that's his main point. In verse 14, he makes that point in the opening verse of this passage. James says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Now, the answer to that question, of course, is no. That faith cannot save him. Faith without works is dead. It's lifeless. It's useless. No one can be saved by that kind of faith, and no one has ever been saved by that kind of faith. Now, certainly, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, says James, citing Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. But Abraham was not justified by a faith without works. If that were the kind of faith that Abraham had, he would not have obeyed God when God commanded him to offer up his son Isaac on the altar when God tested Abraham's faith in Genesis chapter 22. But Abraham did obey God. He passed the test of faith, which proves that he did not have a faith without works. He did not have that kind of faith. He had a true and living and active faith that produces works. And how do we know that? He offered up his son Isaac on the altar in obedience to God's word, verse 21. So Abraham, we would say, using the words of James from chapter 1, Abraham was a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Abraham obeyed. He obeyed because he had a true and living and active faith. That's what a living and active faith does. It obeys. It works. It produces works. True believers hear the word of God and do it. So Abraham was not saved by a dead faith, but by a living faith. You see, James in this chapter is contrasting two different kinds of faith. To understand this text, we have to see that he is contrasting two different kinds of faith. On the one hand, there's the living faith of Abraham, and on the other hand, there's the dead faith of demons. Abraham was saved by a living faith that worked. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, he obeyed. He obeyed God's word. His faith produced works. So Abraham was justified by the kind of faith that works. He was not justified by a dead faith, a faith without works. So James is contrasting those two different kinds of faith, the living and active faith that saves versus the dead and inoperative, inactive faith that cannot save. Saving faith that is true and living faith is always accompanied by works as its necessary and natural fruit. It's always active and produces the fruit of love and obedience. So if someone says he has faith but does not have works, he does not have saving faith despite his claim. His profession of faith, if he professes to have saving faith, his profession of faith is empty. It is bare, a bare, empty profession. It would not be a credible profession of faith, because what would make his profession of faith credible would be the fruits and evidences of that faith, which would be his works. He does not have the kind of faith that Abraham had and through which Abraham was counted righteous before God. You cannot be saved by the kind of faith that does not produce good works, because such a faith is dead. And James condemns that kind of faith. James does not condemn true faith, which is living and active. The faith that James condemns here is not the kind of faith that Paul commends. Now, Paul too condemns dead faith that does not produce good works. Paul teaches clearly that we are saved by faith alone and not by works, but Paul also just as clearly teaches that we are saved, quote, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So faith is the alone instrument, the only instrument of justification. But justifying faith is never alone. It is always accompanied by works. Now, Martin Luther put it this way. Luther said, works are not taken into consideration when the question respects justification, but true faith will no more fail to produce them than the sun can cease to give light. So true faith, saving faith, justifying faith, the kind of faith that Abraham had, will no more fail to produce good works in obedience to God's word then the sun can cease to give light. Justification is by faith alone, sola fide, but that faith does not stand alone, nuda fide. Calvin puts it this way. Calvin says it is faith alone which justifies, and yet the faith which justifies is not alone. Now that sounds like a paradox, but it's very important to understand the distinction here. Calvin says, I'll say it again, it is faith alone that justifies, yet the faith which justifies is not alone. Now, the Westminster Confession of Faith adds the following. Faith is the alone instrument of justification. It's the instrument by which we receive the gift, the benefit freely of justification. Like the hand is the instrument for putting food into the mouth, faith is the alone instrument of justification. Yet, the confession adds, it is not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. Justifying faith is the kind of faith that works by love. It is the kind of faith that produces the fruit of the Spirit, the chief of which is love. So Spirit-produced obedience to God is the fruit and evidence of a true and living and active faith, the kind of faith that saves. The Westminster Confession puts it this way, good works done in obedience to God's commandments are the fruits and evidences of a true and lively faith, a true, a genuine and living faith. Good works are the fruits and evidences of saving faith. They show our faith. They demonstrate our faith. They display or manifest our faith. Now, James here in James chapter 2 challenges the person who claims to have faith but does not have works to prove it. Prove your claim that you have faith. James says in verse 18, show me your faith apart from your works. That's a challenge. And that's impossible. It's impossible to do because faith cannot be seen apart from works. How can you see something? How can you show something, an invisible thing like faith, without visible evidence that proves it? Our faith, you see, is shown by our works. James says in verse 18, I will show you my faith by my works. So our faith is shown, it is evidenced, it is displayed or manifested by our works. Apart from those works, there is no evidence that we have a true and living and active faith, which is the only kind of faith that saves. The genuineness of our faith is demonstrated by our works. Now, to prove this doctrine that James is setting forth here in chapter 2, to prove that doctrine, James cites two cases from the Old Testament. There's the case of Abraham first, and then the case of Rahab, both of which he appeals to prove his doctrine here. James writes in verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? That kind of faith is useless. It is worthless. It benefits no one. It's no advantage to anyone, including the one who has that kind of faith. Do you want to be shown? Do you want me to prove this? James says in verse 20. And here he cites two examples from the Old Testament in support of this doctrine to prove it. In verse 21, James says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Now, let me just say here that James appeals to two different places in the book of Genesis concerning the life of Abraham. First of all, he appeals to Genesis 22, when Abraham offered up his son Isaac on the altar in obedience to the commandment of God. And then he appeals to Genesis 15, a previous event in the life of Abraham that occurred several years before Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So James then goes on in verse 24 to say, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So he appeals to Abraham, the account of Abraham, and particularly Genesis 22, when Abraham offered up his son Isaac in obedience to the commandment of God, to prove this doctrine that he sums up again in verse 24, that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, his second example is Rahab, and here you see it in verse 25. In the same way as Abraham, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? The spies who were sent in by Joshua, she received them, and then she sent them out by another way. She protected them. And then his conclusion in verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, let me say something here about the use of the word justified in James chapter 2. And it's very important that we get this straight in order to make sense of this text, to properly interpret this text. The term justified has more than one meaning. It can mean accounted righteous, or it can mean proved righteous. And those are two different things, accounted righteous or proved righteous. The verb to justify can mean either accounted righteous or proved righteous. Now, Paul uses the term justified ordinarily in the sense of accounted righteous. James here in chapter 2 uses it in the sense of proved righteous. Now, both uses of the term were common in the New Testament era, and both uses of the term are found throughout Holy Scripture. When Paul says that Abraham was justified by faith, Paul means that Abraham was accounted righteous by faith. Or, to use other words, Abraham was declared to be righteous by God through faith. That's accounted righteous. When James, on the other hand, says that Abraham was justified by works, he means that Abraham was proved righteous, or shown to be righteous, or demonstrated to be righteous by works. When Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, Abraham was justified in the sense of accounted righteous. Now, several years later, when Abraham obeyed God by offering up his son Isaac, he was justified in the sense of proved righteous. So you can see there are two different ways that that term is being used. The justification of which James speaks as having occurred in Genesis 22 is not the justification of which Paul speaks as having occurred in Genesis 15. They are two different justifications. In fact, James himself tells us that before Abraham was justified by works in Genesis 22, verse 21, he had already been justified by faith in Genesis 15, verse 23. And the justification that occurred in Genesis 15 had to do with Abraham being counted by God as righteous. Notice that James cites it here. James cites it from Genesis 15, verse 6. He cites it in verse 23. James says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So according to James, when was Abraham accounted righteous? When was he accepted as righteous in the sight of God? According to James, when was Abraham accounted righteous? James says he was accounted righteous when he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, Genesis 15, 6. When was Abraham justified in that sense? Genesis 15, 6. Now, when James says that Abraham was justified by works in Genesis 22, he does not mean accounted righteous, because that had already happened in Genesis 15, verse 6. But rather, he means something else. He means that Abraham was not accounted righteous, that he was proved righteous, or shown to be righteous. So justification has more than one meaning, and you can see it has more than one meaning even from James chapter 2. Justification has a declarative meaning, It can have a declarative meaning, meaning declared to be righteous or accounted righteous, or it can have a demonstrative meaning, meaning shown to be righteous or proved or demonstrated as righteous, demonstrated to be righteous. Abraham was accounted righteous in Genesis 15 and was proved righteous in Genesis 22. Abraham was justified by faith in the declarative sense of the word, justified, in Genesis 15. And Abraham was justified by works in the demonstrative sense of the term justified in Genesis 22. In other words, by his works, Abraham, by his good works, done in obedience to the command of God to offer up his son Isaac, Abraham was proven to be in a state of righteousness. And he had come to be in that state of righteousness previously through faith alone. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So Abraham was accepted as righteous in the sight of God through faith alone, and then many years later shown to be in a state of righteousness by his works, which were the fruits and evidences of his true and living faith. Abraham's righteous status, which he had received through faith alone, was proven. It was demonstrated. It was evidenced by his works. And in that sense, he was justified, proved righteous by works. So there's no contradiction whatsoever between James and Paul. They're using the word justified in different senses. James is not teaching that faith cannot save. James is not teaching that faith is insufficient to save and you have faith in God. You have to add your works to it to make it sufficient, to make it efficient for salvation. That's not what James is teaching. Faith can save and faith does save. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God and he was saved through that faith. James says as much here in verse 23. Abraham believed God and it was counted, he was counted righteous by God through that faith. But James, however, is teaching that saving faith, like the faith that Abraham had, is a living and active faith that works. It's a faith that produces works. And anyone who claims to have faith and does not have works does not have the kind of faith that Abraham had and is not therefore in a state of righteousness. He's not in a state of salvation, not in a state of justification like Abraham was. Justifying faith is living. Justifying faith is active. Justifying faith is not a dead faith. It's not a bare, empty profession of faith. It's not a dead faith. That kind of faith can't save anyone. Even the demons have that kind of faith. That kind of faith is of no benefit to anyone. It's of no value. It's worthless. It's useless. It's dead. But saving faith is alive. Saving faith is active. Saving faith, like the faith of Abraham, is alive and active. It's like the faith of Abraham, who by faith offered up his son Isaac in obedience to God's word. Abraham, you see, because he had true and living faith, was a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And that's the kind of faith that Abraham had. That's the kind of faith that both James and Paul commend. That's the kind of faith that is saving faith. That's justifying faith. And that's the kind of faith that we should have. That's the kind of faith, friends, that we should pray for. Amen.